Praise God.
He still answers prayer, and there's nothing too big or
Amen.
Too small that he can't handle for you. What you think is impossible is possible with God.
Amen. Amen. Along that same line of God answering prayer, it is like we are sitting in an amazing moment at Beacon of Hope Ministries, because not only after 6 or 7 months of believing God and agreeing in prayer for the facility that we needed, God not only supplied it, but above and beyond the amount of space we were asking God for. And in just the right location, we are praising God in Clearwater here, where we will be meeting first service May 19th. Up until then, we're not there in the new facility yet, but we're starting to work. And God has just been answering prayer with really amazing Christians stepping up to the plate and helping financially with the things that are needed. We're going to talk more about that in a minute, but you know what? It's time for Station ID, so why don't we do that? And then we'll come back in just a moment, and we'll tell you more about the miracles that are happening at Beacon of Hope.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Praise God. So, we are moving into a new facility as of May 19th, and we'll tell you more about it. It'll be in Clearwater, where we've been really forever. The ministry's really been in Clearwater for a very long time. Years ago, we started out in Tampa when I lived over there, but then I had to move to Palm Harbor many years ago to take my parents in and take care of them, and so we moved the ministry. And so we're Pinellas County based and basically Clearwater, Florida now. But we are just excited, Betty and Angel, about everything that God is doing. And Betty, I wish you could have been at church this morning, because more things that we needed got donated. All the appliances have now been donated, brand new ones for all of it. Dishwasher, refrigerator, stove, all got donated this morning. We have the plumbing issue is resolved, and we're putting in another bathroom, so we'll have two bathrooms. The plumbing work is being paid for, was paid for, and the work is being done at a very reasonable price. It's just one thing after another. Chairs have been found. Dr. Angel's working on that at a much more reasonable money than we thought. And it's just one thing after another. Some money was given towards the paint of the new facility this morning. Angel, what am I forgetting something? There was a large check last week that will be used for a lot of this. It's just one thing after another. And we're just giving God all the glory and praise. We can't wait to get in there this next weekend and start doing things that we need to do, painting and everything. Cabinets, everything. Go ahead.
Oh my goodness, yes, he is just showing up and showing off way more than we've ever hoped or dreamed or imagined could happen.
It's just happening. Every day it's like a new miracle happens.
It is. It's one door
a new
after
piece
the next.
Of the puzzle, yep. Isn't it?
Yes.
And so, you know, we just thank God. He gets all the glory and the praise. If you want to get involved in that, you can go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Go to the bottom of the homepage. There's a tab for donations. It'll open up a PayPal where you can give if you'd like to towards all this that's happening, or you can just get a hold of me by emailing me at pastor@bohmglobal.com, and we'll give you instructions on any of that if you'd like to get involved financially. So we are praising God from the bottom of our hearts, because it's a new season and it's a new day at Beacon of Hope. It's a season of healing the brokenhearted, healing people with physical and mental and emotional problems. That's always been where God has had us, but it's even more so today, I believe, than ever. Angel, you want to comment on that before I go to Betty?
It absolutely is a season of healing. I mean, we're hearing more and more praise reports of things that, you know, God is doing in people's lives, or he's healing them physically, emotionally, mentally, you know, spiritually. He is just, he's busy.
Well, we want you to use our prayer line, as Betty said, prayers@bohmglobal.com. B-O-H-M stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. prayers@bohmglobal.com. Use our prayer line. Send in your requests for people you know, for people that are hurting anything, and Betty or Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, or Shell will get out a prayer request to our prayer team. If you want to be on the prayer team, just send a note to prayers at bohmglobal.com and listen to our show on Thursday nights, Go Yard at 6:06 p.m. right here on tantalknetwork.com. So with all that said, Betty, it's pretty exciting days, and you and your daughter Megan were just here a few weeks ago, and you're coming back for the grand opening, aren't you? Michigan is giving you up again for a few days.
Yeah, we're leaving the snow and coming to the sunshine. We'll probably still have snow in May, so...
up there, you might? Oh, that's awful.
Yeah, you always welcome us with open arms, but I'd like to tell the listeners that prayer has changed the course for the new facility.
It has.
Absolutely.
We've prayed, we've cried, when we put the stake down, and we said, God, we're believing you for a miracle. And, I mean, it's been, you know, when you get a little bit down, you know, you would get a prophecy from, like, the ministry prior, you know, to before our show, Living the Good Life, you know, with the bishop. They have given you on various times words from the Lord.
Yes, they have. We love those people.
God is going to give you this. He is going to, and I still, this always resonates with me, is God is going to blow your mind.
It's in there. It's in that prophetic word twice.
And it is. It
right.
Is. And it's coming to fruition. Is once you hold on to something, people, don't let go of it. Keep believing. Keep standing. And saying, God, I believe you. Quote the word of God.
Amen.
And believe that God's word does not come back void.
Amen.
And amen.
He's going to do what he says he's going to do.
If yes.
He's going to. And I've told Pastor this before, just as a friend. You know, if God brought you to it, girl, he's going to bring you through it.
Amen.
And it just we just keep reassuring each other. That's the kindness that
yes.
God is.
Yes.
Like I could have told her months ago, Pastor Marcia, this is just baloney. You know, this is just not going to happen. Why don't you let it go? Why don't you just give up the ministry? that's what Satan wanted.
I've had people say that to me through the years,
oh,
Betty.
I'm sure you
oh,
have.
Are you done now? I've had people call.
Yeah.
Are you done now?
Are you back on your feet? Oh, you're back on your feet?
Yeah.
It's like, yes.
Yeah. Right. Right now.
When you do not, you cannot.
Right.
Again.
No,
what
praise
God.
Done,
there is nothing, no power in hell can come against
Well, he gets all the glory and praise, yes.
He does. Praise God for his mercy, his kindness, and he never forgets, you know, what we've asked. He wants to give us the desires of our heart.
Praise God.
And once we take, and I don't know, maybe you may not agree with this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
All right, go ahead.
Once we take us, out of it. It's not
right.
By our power.
No.
It's by his power. It's by his might, by his power that things happen. So once we extract the me syndrome and we let God take over, we let God, you know, Jesus take the wheel.
Yeah.
Things happen. Things mm-hmm. happen. And again, he's going to blow your mind.
Well, it's just like you just said, it's a verse, it's Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that verse goes on to say, you speak grace to that mountain, okay?
Amen.
And it will move. So we just speak to the mountains that are remaining in what we need to do before May 19th and the platform that is needed and other things that are needed. And we are believing God right now that the resources will come in and the people to help build those things will come in, and we're going to get done what God wants done, because there is none like you.
The exalted Lord.
Love it. There's none like you, Lord. You get all the glory and the praise. Mighty God.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity. suffering children are safe in your arms. There is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I can search for all.
Praise God. There is none like you, mighty God. Woo! We give you the glory and the praise for what you're doing. If you just joined us, we are in Mark chapter 5 today. And our title really is The Kindness of God in Our Lives. And we're in our series, Live Forevermore, Meeting Jesus. And we talked about this little story this morning in my sermon, but I just keep feeling led to go back to it. And it's a story in Mark chapter 5 where Jesus crosses over by boat and sees a large crowd that's waiting on him in verse 21 of Mark 5. And one of the meeting place leaders named Jairus came up to him. And he saw Jesus, and Jairus falls on his knees beside himself as he begs. And he says, "My dear daughter is at death's door. Come and lay hands on her so she will get well and live." Do you see the faith right there, Betty? He says to Jesus, "My daughter's dying. Can you come lay hands on her, please? Because I know that if you do, she will live." You talk about faith. I love this. In Mark 5, 21, 22, that his daughter was dying and she was just about ready to die. And he just said, "Jesus, please come." And Jesus went with him. The whole crowd tagging along, pushing and shoving him. Find that fascinating. Jesus didn't say, "Well, if she's going to die, I'm just too late." Or, you know, "I'm so sorry, man, that's happening to you. Man, that's just tough, you know." No, he doesn't say this. He just immediately starts headed towards Jairus's house. And on the way, a woman with a hemorrhage grabs the back of his robe at the bottom where the blue cord was that signified healing. And she was saying to herself, I love this, in Mark 5, "If I can just put a finger on his robe, I can get well." Why? Why did she say that? Because she knew that virtue, Jesus had the power in him. Her faith was huge, Betty. And she says, "I know I can get well if I can just touch his robe." She didn't even say, "If he'll just lay hands on me." She didn't even say that. She just said, "If I can just touch his robe," something that he's touching. Talk to us, Betty. What a woman of faith.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, the word for virtue in the Greek, I have this written down, in Greek is dunamis, the same Greek word used when Christ said believers would receive
dunamis. Power. Right. Same
after
word.
The Holy Spirit. Woo! Comes upon them.
Yeah.
And once you feel that power, and they talked about it today at church. Once you feel
yeah.
that amazing power that can be transferred from, like, from the throne or from even us as disciples.
Right.
When we pray for someone, that power can be so strong that you can actually feel it transfer from you, which is God using you in any particular situation to say, okay, you know, leg, you know, grow in the name of Jesus. Whatever, you know, it's that faith building thing where I think they had seen Jesus do this. They had walked. I mean, he couldn't go anywhere without people watching him. And that's why he wanted so willingly wanted to be alone so he could pray. But people saw what he could do.
Oh, yeah.
When you see something like that, it increases your faith.
Oh, it does.
I mean, that's the human part of us is we see, just like we saw a lady's leg being healed. And I mean, it was shorter. It was almost an inch shorter on one side. And we actually saw it grow.
Yeah.
There were people that were screaming, you know, just glorifying God because it increases your faith.
It does.
It increases your
willingness
to want to say, I want that.
Amen.
I want that power. And we do.
We have it. If we claim it and walk in it. So, Angel, was this a kind thing for him to do, to go follow Jairus to his house? And then this woman, you know, basically stops the crowd because she pulls on his or touches his robe. Was this kindness?
Absolutely. You know, Jesus is there to meet the needs of people.
And,
right. You know, I always find the woman's faith just totally astonishes me because, you know, she had this condition for a long time.
12 years,
she could have given up hope. She could have been super depressed. I mean, the doctors couldn't help her. It talks about how the doctor, you know, the medical treatments weren't working.
Right.
And that she just, if I could just reach out and touch, you
right.
know, and are we reaching out and touching?
Right.
Them?
Well, I believe that a lot of people are missing all the blessings they can have, you know, because God wants us to reach out and believe him for the miracles, whatever those might be, whether they are physical healing, whether there is emotional issues, whether it's financial or it's a new job or it's a relationship issue. God wants us to reach out and believe. We're the ones who get stuck in our old opinions. This lady could have said, well, I've been going to doctors for 12 years. I haven't been healed. I still have this hemorrhage. I guess I'm always going to be that way. But she didn't have that attitude, did she?
No, not at all. She believed. She dared to believe.
She dared to believe.
You know, that I think a lot of times we don't believe.
Right.
We believe he can do it, but we don't believe he will do it.
Exactly.
Like you said in church today. I think a lot of people walk around with that belief.
Oh, I agree. And I want to go back to kindness here. So was it kind for him to say to Jairus, okay, I'm coming to heal your daughter? He just started walking like, okay, sure. And to the woman with the hemorrhage, and he turned around, he goes, who touched me? That was a kind act when he said, who touched me? Why, Betty? Why was that kind for him to realize that somebody had touched me? How did that help her?
That he didn't rebuke her. He didn't
right.
refuse her. He didn't turn her away. He didn't have the guards remove her from his presence. Because
right.
God is moved by our infirmities. He
yeah.
is moved to the point of he can see because he's felt the pain. He's felt, you know, he sees what we're going through. And that's what our Heavenly Father does. He does it out of kindness. He does it out of compassion. And that's why when he looks at us, he sees us so differently sometimes than we see ourselves. And his act of compassion, and that's all it is his act of compassion is his love for these people.
Oh,
because
yeah.
He knows, I mean, this poor, bless her heart, you know, she's had this for 12 years.
Right.
And, you know, she could have just sat in a corner and said, okay, I'm just destined to do this
right.
for the rest of my
yes.
life.
Yes.
But she didn't. She had the faith to say, okay. And this just makes me emotional because she could have done that. But what she did is the devil could have kept her down, could have said, nope, you know, he's not going to heal you. Don't even get near him because he doesn't want anything to do with you. But what happened was is that his Holy Spirit drew her to him because she had her faith had increased each time she knew Jesus was coming and he was going to be in that area. And she, her faith just kept saying, okay, if I could just touch
him.
Just touch him. I know I can be healed.
Right.
That could be just the faith the size of a mustard seed. And she touched it, and the power left him.
Oh, absolutely.
And he turned. And I think sometimes I don't know how he did it without just breaking down and, you know, crying his little eyes out.
Sometimes he did cry with compassion.
He did because he was so overcome with compassion. And that's what he wants for us.
Oh, absolutely.
He loves us so much that the compassion just
that's a kindness.
Overwhelming.
That's the kindness.
Love and kindness.
Oh, in Mark 5:34, Jesus says to her, daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed, be healed of your plague. Talk to us, angel, about verse 34 of Mark chapter 5. I love that verse. One of my favorites in the Bible.
Oh, I love it too. You took a risk of faith.
Yeah.
How often do we, you know, we take the risk of, you know, calling our 10 closest friends, or we take, you know, but do we take the risk of faith? Like, do we break it to the throne?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we aren't willing to take the risk of faith because we're afraid. What if he doesn't?
What if he doesn't?
What if he does too? You know, sometimes I think we're afraid of what our life will be like without the infirmity we've grown accustomed to having too.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Sometimes it takes a step of faith to say, I want rid of this no matter what.
Even though
my life changes, right?
Absolutely. And kindness is about meeting the need in the moment.
Oh, kindness is. Kindness is gentle, it's mild, it aims to help people that it rests on. Let's go on with this kindness. This woman with a hemorrhage, after she'd had it 12 years, was healed instantly, okay? God still heals instantly today. Now, there are times that it is a progressive situation, I admit that. I've seen many times in ministry where people are just gradually healed. We have somebody in our church whose ankle has been being gradually healed, it seems, for years now, right? And sometimes that is the way it is. But still, at the bottom of it is God's kindness saying, here, I'm going to bring healing to your life, emotionally, physically, all of that. Now, this interruption or distraction or whatever you want to call it, this miracle actually with the lady with the hemorrhage, happened while Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, so that he could pray over the daughter. But while he was still talking in verse 35 of Mark 5, some people came from the leader's house and said to Jairus, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? You know, I think there are so many times, Angel, where the devil wants us to believe we're down for the count. We're hopeless. It's not, there's nothing going to change here.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, because, you know, when we take away our hope, it takes away our energy, our strength, our, you know, hope is so important. It's what keeps us alive and keeps us pushing forward. And yeah, a lot of times people they'll stop you and they'll let you know, oh no, don't, that's hopeless, why are you wasting that time, or oh, that's a prayer request that you shouldn't have, that prayer request. I know a lot of people will, you know, when they'll ask for prayer or something when we're talking, especially in the counseling room, they'll say, and I'll ask them, have you brought that to, you know, as a prayer request? Oh no, it's not as important as other people's needs. Yes it is, it's your need.
Yeah, it's just so little, it's not a big deal. I don't want to bother God with it. He's so busy. God is omnipotent, which means he's all powerful. He's omniscient, which means he is all knowing. And he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at the same time. That's the God we serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't worry about bothering God. You're not bothering him. And when this guy says to Jairus, and Jesus hears him say, your daughter's already dead, Jesus didn't say, oh, well, sorry, I couldn't have hurried a little longer here. What did he say in verse 36, Betty? It didn't faze Jesus at all.
Nope.
Betty, are you there?
I'm here. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And I think what he was trying to do is to tell him, it's okay. Just, you know, be patient. I'm on my, you know, I'm coming, right. You know, I mean, he didn't say that, but you could just understand in today's world is, okay, come on, let's hurry up, players, you know, put a rush on it, you know. That's not the way Jesus was. Jesus already knew, because God already told him what was going to happen.
Oh, yeah, he already knew.
He already knew. It's like, okay, but that man's faith never failed. It just, he kept right behind Jesus. Okay, let's go. And by the time, and if you read the scripture, is there were people watching him.
Oh yeah, all kinds of people.
All kinds. I mean, from, you know, from the synagogues, and all of these people are watching, and they're going, okay, watch, you know, the girl's dead. You know, that's over with. You know, there is no other.
Yeah, what are they going to do with this? The girl's dead.
What are they going to do with that? Yeah, what are they going to do? But they didn't. If they'd only believed a little bit, like that man did, that Jesus was going to heal his daughter. And as you read on, as we'll talk about in a few minutes, God does the impossible.
He does. He's awesome.
He is awesome. He is one dynamic super. I guess you could call him a superhero.
Well, of course.
He's my father. He's omnipotent. He is all present. I mean, he is everything. And we have to understand sometimes, like we talked about, is that he's going to do it in his timing.
Yeah.
And when it's his timing, it works out.
It works.
So much.
I love verse 36. That in the Message Bible, it says, when they were all saying, oh, she's already dead, he said, don't listen to them. Just trust me.
Right.
And I think this is huge, because so often we listen to all the voices around us, Angel. We listen to all the negativity of people saying, oh, God's not going to move in that situation. Oh, well, you have no money to get a facility and change your and expand and grow and welcome people into the house of God. You don't really have the money. And, you know, there's only just a few of you. And you know, this is huge, and paying for this and that. Well, you can't do that. Talk to us, Angel.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. The voices of negativity are everywhere, all around. And they're there discouraging all the time. And you're right. You know, that negativity, that's the enemy of faith.
That's
and
right.
We have got to learn to not listen, to
right.
shut it down, and
right.
to go to the truth. Because if we
yes.
listen to it long enough, it's going to start bringing our faith down. And what we feed grows. You know,
right.
especially when we have the voices of negativity
yes.
around us, it's so important that we're feeding it back with the truth of the Word of God.
Absolutely. And Jesus said in John, I think, chapter 8, the truth will set you free.
Absolutely.
Right? And he also said in John chapter 1:14 that the Word, which is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In a world where truth sometimes is hard to find, when people tend to gloss over truth sometimes and just say what they want it to be or whatever, God's word is truth. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 17, in the high priestly prayer, he said, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Okay? People, we are set apart. Sanctified means to be set apart. We are set apart when we acknowledge the truth of God's word. Did this story happen? Yes, it did. Did Jairus' daughter die? Yes, she did. But that's not the end of the story. Oh, no. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Listen to this and let your faith rise. God is awesome in your situation.
As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face, I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your holy grace. I can only bow down and say,
you are awesome in this place, mighty God.
as I come into your presence, past the gates of praise,
into your sanctuary, Lord, till we're standing face to face.
In your countenance, I see the fullness of your holy grace.
I'm down.
Praise God. Lord, we just praise you right now because you are awesome. You're doing a mighty work in us. You're doing a mighty work in our listeners. You're awesome. You're awesome on this show. Lord, we stand in awe of what you do and how you affect our lives even as we're doing the show. We stand in awe of you. Oh, you're worthy of our praise, and we can't help but praise you and thank you. Lord, we thank you for the word of God that brings us these stories that change our lives and that remind us of your great power and your kindness, mighty God. You are amazing, God. We love you so very much. Lord, we pray for our audience right now. You know who they are and where they are, whether they are live or listening later. We just ask right now that you touch their lives in a powerful way. That you remind them of your great kindness and your love for them. That you reassure them that you have a plan for each of their lives. Oh, God, you are awesome. You're awesome. You take these stories and you teach us who you are. Who you are. The God we serve. You are awesome. You are awesome, mighty God. Oh, how we love you. Bless you, mighty God. Praise God. Oh, yes, he is. Talk to us, Betty.
You know, the awesomeness of God becomes greater as we get closer to him. And I just cannot get over, you know, what God, you know, in my span here on earth of what he's done in my life and where I would be without him. You know, he's brought me out of a lot of, you know, situations where I didn't think there was an opportunity to get out. But, you know, he brought me through, and he will bring our listeners through.
Amen.
Because he is an awesome God.
Oh, he is, he is, he is. Let's finish this. Betty, you need to go, don't you, to church?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to forsake myself from assembling.
No,
when
you
the
go.
Doors are open, I'm there, baby.
All right.
That.
Hey, thank you so much, Betty Thomas, for being on the air with Angel and I today. And we will be talking to you very soon. And it's always
it's
a joy to have you here. So we will see you in a few weeks right here and live in the studio again in May. So May 19th, actually. So that's a real joy. So God bless you. And thank you for sharing this time with us. We appreciate it very much.
Okay.
God bless you.
Love you
both. Love
you
too.
Oh, Angel, let's go back to the story of Jairus' daughter, because to the outsider, it may look like Jesus had just kind of forgot about this situation, you know, because he stopped and he took care of the lady with the hemorrhage. And then somebody comes and says, well, it's too late. Daughter died. So often we listen to the words around us and people around us that say, no, you're never going to make it. That's not going to change.
Oh, yes. You don't have to look far to find the discouragers around us, because I feel like they're everywhere. And we believe them a lot of times, you know, and it keeps us from being who we're supposed to be or moving where God has us to move. We talk ourselves right out of where God has us going.
Yeah, because so often those voices are loud, and sometimes it's not people, it's just the devil pounding our heads with, you're a failure, you're never going to amount to anything, and maybe people, some of our listeners are depressed, maybe they've recently lost someone close to them, or lost a job, or finances, or whatever, and it's easy to fall into a trap that the devil creates for us, is it not?
Oh, yes, it is. It's very, very easy. In fact, you have to be very purposeful to not fall in that trap.
Right. Why? Why is it that he can so easily... It's not a kind thing for the devil to do. There's no kindness in him, right?
No, there is no nothing.
No goodness, no kindness.
No, he's
no sweetness.
You know, stealing, killing, and destroying.
Yeah, that's right.
That's exactly what he's out to do, and that he does it well.
Yeah. So his goal is to always bring you distractions. Is always his goal is to get you off your task, to get you to not read your Bible, not praise God, not declare promises over your life. The devil constantly tries to keep you from the power of God's word.
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, because that's how he steals, kills, and destroys
us. That's right, John 10:10. And Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and to give it abundantly till it overflows.
Absolutely. The devil's afraid of us getting a hold of that truth.
Oh, I mean, it's overflowing life when we get our body healed.
Oh, yes.
It's overflowing life when the anxieties and the worries in our minds take a back seat to the knowledge of God's love and kindness in our lives. And for people out there who think that God is still maybe not doing miracles anymore, you're reading out of your Bible, they might be saying to me right now, well, you're reading out of your Bible. Yeah, that was back in Bible days. That is one of the craziest arguments that the devil throws. Because Jesus came to show us the nature of the Father, the kindness, the goodness. And to say, you quoted it a minute ago in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. This was not just a fly-by-night visit to Earth for 33 years, and then that's the end of it. Talk to us, Angel.
Amen. You know, and you're right. The Word of God is, you know, the story of truth from cover to cover of who God is, what, you know, what he can do, who I am through him. And, you know, each one of, you know, this is to build our faith. He did it here. He's the same. He can do it today. You know, this wouldn't do us any good if it wasn't alive and active, as it talks about. The Bible is living and active, and it is not just a history book. It is living. It is for us today. It is where our faith comes from. It's the truth. It's the character. It's, you know, how we become more like him.
And we should desire truth. We want to know what's really the case here. Does God still heal today? Dear listener, the answer is a triumphant and a resounding yes, he does. Are there times that people die of an illness and we wish they didn't die? Yes. And again, I go back to Graham Cook's statement. God allows in his wisdom what he could easily prevent by his power. Relate that, Angel, to this subject of healing.
Well, you know, God knows the plan from beginning to end. And, you know, death is, when you know Christ, death is not the end of your story. It's the beginning of your eternity. And sometimes that is the healing that we receive. And so, you know, the Bible talks about it's appointed to men, all men to die. You know, so our bodies aren't going to live forever. And, you know, God's infinite wisdom knows that timing for our ministry, what he has called us to do, and when he has called us home.
He does. And you're exactly right. And some people say, well, so-and-so died, and they died at a young age. And all we can say is God knows more about that whole situation or what might have happened later on or whatever the case may be or how he's going to use that death to affect so many people. We don't have we have the mind of Christ. Let me say it. That's what Scripture says. We have the mind of Christ. But we don't understand how God works sometimes, do we?
Oh, not at all. And we don't have the view, the vision of Christ at all.
We can't see what he sees, right?
Not at all. We're, you know, and I use this reference a lot, and I use it in the counseling room. Our view is like the piece of the puzzle, and we're trying to put together the whole picture with one little puzzle piece. You know, and we have this, you know, 10,000 puzzle going, and we just see the one piece. Well, what is this whole puzzle going to be? We don't know. God's got the whole view from the beginning
exactly.
to the end.
Exactly.
Our one piece is not enough view for us to even make sense of what God's doing sometimes.
But the bottom line here is, are you putting yourself in such a place that you are saying, God, I want to be on the path you have for me. Whatever that path is, I am on board with that path. And when we get there, then life's situations don't seem as bad if we're on the path. You know what I'm saying?
Well, when we're on God's path, we are building, we can trust him.
Right.
We know he has plans for us, for our life, to give us hope in a future. And when we put our trust in that, okay, it may not look good this moment, but I know he says all things work together for good for those who trust him or call by his name. I trust him. I'm called by his name. I'm going to trust that this is going to work out to good.
Yes.
I may not be able to see it, but I'm going to trust.
Exactly. And I love the end of verse 36 in Mark 5. When Jesus overheard what they were talking about, the fact that the daughter had already died, and he said to the leader, don't listen to them, to Jairus. Don't listen to them. Just trust me. I love that in the Message Bible. He permitted no one to go in with him except Peter, James, and John. They entered the leader's house and pushed their way through the gossips looking for a story. And neighbors bringing in casseroles. I love that. Jesus was abrupt. Why all this busybody grief and gossip? This child isn't dead. She's sleeping. Provoked to sarcasm, they told him he didn't know what he was talking about. Can you just picture that, Angel? They're making fun of him because he thinks this child is asleep. And they know she's dead because they've seen dead people. So they know this child is dead.
Yeah,
and she was dead. She was dead.
Yeah, she was dead. I think that's very interesting that they would say that to him like that.
Right. Yeah. But, I love the word but. Verse 40. We can have all kinds of situations above the word but. All kinds of situations that seem to be like, okay, well, that's done. She's dead. But when he had sent them all out, why did he do that, Angel? Why did he send them all out?
Well, I think he had to get rid of the negativity, and he had to get rid of the unbelief and the lack of faith.
He certainly did. And he was like, no, y'all get out. Get out. Can people affect faith? Absolutely they can. Can others negativity? Yes. Yes. It's very important that you have people around you. If you're going to believe for something, your healing or whatever it is, surround yourself with people who believe the word of God, who stand on the promises, who will agree with you. He took the child's father and mother along with his companions and entered the child's room. He clasped the girl's hand and said, Talitha kume, which means, that's Aramaic for little girl, get up. At that, she was up and walking around. This girl was 12 years old. They, of course, were all beside themselves with joy. He gave them strict orders that no one was to know what had taken place in that room. And then he said, give her something to eat. Well, of course, they didn't keep that promise that they wouldn't talk about this because this was important that they get that word out. I find it interesting that she was 12 years old. The woman had the hemorrhage for 12 years.
Yes.
12 is the number of God's government in our lives, where God has supreme order over the circumstances. Satan doesn't. God does. 12 years on the hemorrhage, 12 years old for the little girl. Interesting to me.
Yes.
Don't know if that was intentional, but that's what happened. Okay. And then he says, give her something to eat because she still had a human body. She needed to eat and get strong. She'd been sick.
Mm-hmm.
She was dying. They hadn't been feeding her because she was dying. What does that speak to you? And we're going to do this song right after that.
Well, you know, we have to feed those human bodies. And he was letting them know she's very much alive and needs to be strengthened.
Amen. Amen. You know, I just want to say this about healing. Because as a pastor for this many, many years now, I have seen so many people healed. And I've also seen so many healed as they went to heaven, not healed in this earthly realm. I've been with many that have been in the process of dying. In my new book, Strength for the Fight, I've got a chapter on this. And I really believe that it is a beautiful thing when people, saints of God, people that love God go to heaven. It is amazing to watch and to be a part of that. It's also truly amazing when people come up and stand in faith and believe and their body is healed and their future home going to the Lord is prolonged a little longer. That's a beautiful thing too. God wants not just to heal our bodies, but he wants to heal our minds. He wants to heal our emotions. And so many people are just absolutely down under all that the devil throws at them. As I play this song by Terry McCallum, I used it a couple weeks ago, and it's still been on my heart. Can't get it out of my heart. Heal me, and let it apply to your life. Sing along, ask God to heal you. Whatever's going on in your life, whether it's physical, financial, whether it's mental, whether it's emotional, whatever it is. Make this your prayer right now.
Heal me. I need a brand new touch from you, my Lord. Heal me. Let the fullness of your life now be restored. Every week that we gather here, there's many, many people with many, many different kinds of needs. We get testimonies constantly of miracles that take place in the worship atmosphere. As his presence just sets upon us, he comes with healing in his wings. And right where you're at today, right where you're standing or sitting, if you need a touch from him, I believe there is a healing anointing that he will release upon you even right now. So as we just sing this song a couple of times, would you just let faith arise within your soul and your spirit, man? Ask God provide for you divine health from heaven to your soul or your body or spirit today. Sing it with me. Oh, heal me. Heal me. I need a brand new touch from you. Represented here, Lord. We desire as your bride to be complete and whole, restored to your fullness, Lord, that you designed for us at Calvary. And so, Lord, yes, indeed, let the fullness of your life be restored to these people today. Father, I pray that there will be a quickening to mortal bodies here. We look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, you are the healer. Oh, so come and heal me.
Take it right now, right where you are for your situation.
Most High God, listen to your church crying out to you today. I need a brand new touch from you, my
God. That's the cry of our hearts, Lord God. Oh, do a fresh work in us, a work of healing. a work of restoration. Lord, that's our goal. That's what we want. We want all that you have for us. We don't want to settle for anything less than your fullness in our lives. Oh, we thank you for your kindness, Lord, working in our lives. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Talk to me, Dr. Angel.
Well, you know what? He's amazing. He's a good, good father.
He is.
And he is filled with kindness.
Yes, he is.
And he is just waiting for us.
You know, we talked this morning a little bit about 1 Corinthians 13, and it's known as the love chapter, verses 4 to 8. Often I talk about that in weddings. Love is patient, it says, the first thing. Mm-hmm. And the second one is love is kind.
Yes.
You know, in a marriage relationship, a relationship like that, in friendship, in relationships with our brothers and sisters in Christ, our family, our children, we've got to learn to walk in this kindness. Love is patient. Love is kind. God is love.
Yes.
Therefore, he is all of this for us. And his word to us today is be kind one to another. Learn to look at the best in people. Learn to really pray for them and believe God for their healing or whatever it is they need. And get on board with the fact that God is a good God. He's full of goodness. He's full of kindness. He's full of truth. He's full of love.
Absolutely.
Talk to us.
You know, I think we live in a culture that, you know, kindness is disappearing.
Oh.
You know, it's a dinosaur to find, you know, kindness and people. And you're right. Kindness is the action of love. Kindness is the quality, the action of being friendly and and generous and considerate and tender-hearted. And compassionate.
Wow.
Hospitable, patient.
Yes.
Sympathetic, courteous, merciful. That's what who he is, and that's what we need to be.
And that's the way we need to treat each other.
Yes.
And the golden rule is do unto others, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you would have them do unto you. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I want people to be kind to me. I don't want to be mean and nasty in traffic or anyplace else. I want kindness. So if I want kindness, I plant kindness.
Right.
So that I reap kindness.
Absolutely. And, you know, the golden rule has been very twisted in our culture. It's, you know, treat others the way they treat us.
Right.
And that's not what we were called to do.
No, we were not called to do that. Why not? Because what does that do?
That just leads to more bitterness and anger and all kinds of negative behaviors towards people.
It sure does.
You know, whatever, how we treat people, it becomes very contagious. And, you know, kindness is contagious, too. When we treat others with kindness and compassion, it goes forward.
And bad attitudes of hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness, that's contagious, too.
Those go forward. And, you know, when I find this little segment of scripture we study today, that Jesus showed us he had the power over the weather.
Yeah.
He had the power over the demons. He
right.
had power over sickness
right.
and power over death.
Woo! That
wow.
was,
those are four huge categories.
They are.
Of his power.
And all of it was done in kindness.
All of it.
Right?
Yes.
He didn't want the disciples or himself to drown in that storm. Mm. He didn't want Jairus' daughter to stay dead. You know, he didn't want the lady with the hemorrhage to continue to stay hemorrhaged, right?
Right.
Hemorrhaging. The guy, the mad guy in the grave full of demons, he didn't want him to have to continue to suffer like that. He didn't say, oh, you brought this on yourself.
Right.
No. He said, demons be gone. And Jesus, in his name, I mean, he just spoke it and they had to go.
Yes.
Oh, lessons for us today in the show. It's been a really good show. My fourth book just came from the publisher, Zulon Press. It's actually available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But I would encourage you just to send us a note. You can just send it at the address we gave you, prayers@bohmglobal.com. I think I'm having trouble with my email, the pastor at, so I'm going to have to get that fixed this week. So if you want a copy sent to you, they're $11 if you go through us. We'll pay for the postage and save you money. Strength for the Fight. You've been reading it, Angel. Do you want to comment on it before we get out of here?
Oh, it's very good, very encouraging, and I highly, highly recommend it.
Well, that was nice. You said it exactly the way I told you to. Joke. All right. So this has been Dr. Angel Falzone, Betty Thomas up in Michigan, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister at Beacon of Hope Ministries, bringing you God's Word today. We encourage you to tell people about these shows. We're on every single Sunday. Every once in a great while, we have to do a rerun. Next week is going to be one of those weeks because we have a wedding in the middle of the afternoon. Some of our people are getting married. So don't worry about that, and it'll be a great rerun, whatever it is, and then we'll be back live with you the next week. So just know that God loves you. We love you. We want you to reach out to us through our prayer ministry, prayers at bohmglobal.com. If you want a copy of my new book, send me a note there on prayers at bohmglobal.com with your address, and we'll communicate with you on how to get that to you. And until we talk again very soon, we just pray God's richest blessings on you and that you know that he loves you so very much. And you know what? I got to play that Heal Me Again. I got to do it as we go out today. Because you know what? This is what God's desire is for you. He's full of kindness. He wants you to approach his throne of grace and receive what he has for you today. We speak a blessing in your life. May God bless every area of your life. And if you need healing in your body, take it as we go out with this song. This has been Pastor Marcia, Angel, and Betty. See you soon. God bless you.
Let the fullness of your life now be restored. Every week that we gather here, there's many, many people with many, many different kinds of needs. We get testimonies constantly of miracles that take place in the worship atmosphere. As his presence just sets upon us, he comes with healing in his wings. And right where you're at today, right where you're standing or sitting, if you need a touch from him, I believe there is a healing anointing that he will release upon you even right now. So as we just sing this song a couple of times, would you just let faith arise within your soul and your spirit, man? Ask God provide for you divine health from heaven to your soul or your body or spirit today. Sing it with me. Oh, heal me. Heal me. I need a brand new touch from you.
Represented
here. 106.1 WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Border issue? Accusations against Biden. I'm Ann Cates. White House officials say President Trump has few other options as he pushes for closing the border with Mexico. Correspondent Martin Savage reports U.S. border towns are dealing with incoming migrants.
This is the problem that's quickly spilling over from a crisis for the federal government as far as room for holding all of those migrant families. to now an issue that's going to have to be dealt with on the local level in Brownsville here. The bus station has become the processing center. Essentially, what happens is there's kind of a handoff. Federal officials bring the migrants here, drop them off by the busload, where they're accepted in and then processed by the city officials as well as by county officials.
Former Vice President Joe Biden says he doesn't believe he's ever acted inappropriately toward women after a Democratic Party activist accused him of making her uncomfortable.